Our scripture reading is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Overflowing grace to the worst sinner. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we praise you that the power of the gospel is salvation to everyone who believes, and that it is a salvation that is the work of your grace from beginning to end. We receive in the gospel what we do not deserve, could never earn or merit, eternal life that changes us in this life to live for your glory. We ask that your Holy Spirit would apply this passage to our lives according to our need. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes under the authority of the Holy Spirit, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There is embedded in the heart of the present passage one of the great assurances of hope in all of the scriptures, and that is that God, in it, the all-sufficient saving grace carried out through Jesus Christ, is able to save anybody. The saying is trustworthy, verse 15 says, and deserves full acceptance. In other words, accept it with all your heart, because it's true. That Christ Jesus came into the world in order for the reason of saving sinners, of whom the Apostle Paul says, I am the worst. God's grace in Jesus Christ is amazing because God sovereignly saves wretches and only wretches. And that means this morning, if you have believed the gospel by the grace of God, you are a wretch redeemed by grace. In other words, Christ doesn't put a little bit of polish on nice people. Christianity is the only religion in the world for bad people, because every other religion says you can get good enough to make it to heaven. You cannot be saved if you are not lost. You cannot be freed unless you are a slave. In 1918 in Tokyo, Tokichi Ichi was hung for murder. He had been sent to prison more than 20 times for violent crimes, and he was as hardened and hateful as a man can get. In response to his hatred and violence on one occasion, when he tried to kill a prison guard, he was bound, gagged, hung from the ceiling until his toes could barely touch the ground. Before receiving his death sentence, he was sent a copy of the Bible by two Christian missionaries, a Miss West and a Miss McDonald, and this notorious wretched sinner came to trust in the saving grace of Christ. And when he received his sentence to be hung, he said, "I accept it as the judgment of God." So he was visited by Miss McDonald in prison, and she pointed him to 2 Corinthians 6:8. And one of the lines in that verse was noted by Mr. Itchy before he died: "Poor, yet making many rich." And he wrote this: "This certainly does not apply to the evil life I led before I repented of my sin. But perhaps in the future, someone in the world may hear that the most desperate villain who has ever lived repented of his sins and was saved by the power of Jesus Christ, and so may come to also repent. Then it may be that though I am poor myself, I shall be able to make someone rich by the grace of God." God's grace can reach anybody. Christ's all-sufficient death is tailor-made to save wretched sinners from the wretchedness of their sin by covering them in the righteousness of Christ. Christ gives to unpromising sinners grace to make them productive servants of his. And that is why the Apostle Paul is writing this. He's seeking to convince the church of Ephesus to hold dearly to the gospel, because it is the only good news for wretched sinners. The first point is this: he begins by being joyful to serve. Are you joyful to serve this morning? Are you growing tired to serve because you're ungrateful? The Apostle Paul had experienced both the saving grace of God and the strengthening grace of God, so he knew the difference. What a Christian needs for ministry to God is the strengthening grace of God, and the Apostle had that. He writes in verse 12, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me," or he approved me, "faithful, appointing me to his service." When it comes to serving the Lord, believers need the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit. And thus the Apostle Paul had the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit. It was given to him on the Damascus Road when he was about to arrest and execute Christians. And the Lord appeared to him, regenerated him by his grace, and the Apostle Paul, the rest of his life, was filled with the Holy Spirit and served God. So his effectiveness was not based on his natural ability. It was not based on a first-rate education, and it was not based on the latest Christian fads. His divine power for ministry flowed exclusively from his yieldedness to the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians later on, "I have learned to do all things that God has called me to do through Christ who gives me strength." First, Christ appointed him to salvation, then appointed him to apostleship, and then gave him the power to serve Christ. The God who gave him the strength to serve is the God who put him in the place of apostleship from the first. In other words, God always gives what he demands. The God who gave the Apostle Paul strength is the God who gave him grace and gives us grace to serve and glorify God in every situation of life. What always amazed Paul is that God trusted him with the ministry of the gospel in the first place. He always kept a sense of unworthiness. He was amazed that God would actually call him to service. Are you amazed where you serve that God would actually call you and enable you to serve? He mentioned to Timothy how God entrusted him with the glorious gospel in verse 11 of chapter 1. He proceeds to praise God for finding him trustworthy of this trust. In the English, we could render a wordplay this way. Paul was considered faithful to be enfaithed by God with the gospel. What does that mean? It means this. Paul was an apostle not because he proved himself worthy. How could you ever be worthy of salvation? How could you be ever worthy of an apostolate? You could never be worthy of that. The whole point of this passage is that God gives grace to unworthy sinners. Rather, in entrusting the gospel to Paul, God proved himself trustworthy. In entrusting the gospel to Paul, God proved himself trustworthy by giving the apostle Paul the grace and strength to be faithful. And that is what amazed the apostle Paul. We could say it this way. Paul is testifying, I have done nothing to make myself worthy of serving Jesus Christ. All the worthiness, all the strength, all the glory goes to God. Do you believe that this morning about yourself? Because you ought to. Our worthiness, our service is bound up in God who will prove himself worthy. What comes out in this passage so strongly is how the Apostle Paul is thankful for the service that he can give to God as an apostle. Though that came with being beaten and left for dead, though that came with being rejected, though that came with being rejected by his own countrymen, he is so thankful to serve God. What an example for everyone here. Do you praise God for the ministry he has given you to your family, to your church, in this world? When you fold the laundry, when you care for your husband or wife, when you write your bills, when you greet in this church, when you teach in this church, when you send encouragement cards in this church, when you provide any service at all, are you thankful for the privilege of serving the Lord who redeemed you at the cost of his Son? Sometimes we grow ungrateful because we're tired in ministry and of ministry. We complain about having to serve the Lord rather than rejoicing that we get to. We are tempted to think in our pride, we become proud and lose thankfulness. We are tempted to think in our pride, God should be thankful that I'm on his team. To help avoid these temptations, Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgamuth has drawn up a fine list of differences between proud spirits and humble hearts. Proud, unbroken people have a desire for self-advancement and service. They're driven to be recognized and appreciated. So when they're not, they get angry and ungrateful. Their attitude is, well, the ministry's privileged to have me. Why am I getting the praise and recognition I deserve? Broken people, on the other hand, have a sense of unworthiness. They're thankful just for the privilege to serve and want others to get the credit. Most of all, they want God to get the credit. When they think of their involvement in the church, they think, I don't deserve to be serving the Lord. What a privilege. Paul had a humble heart. He was not afraid to bring forth his credentials as an apostle in order to bring forth the word of God. But he was profoundly thankful to God for service, and he never lost the sense of personal unworthiness. He's saying this in the present sense. I am right now the worst of sinners. Not I was. I am. Now redeemed. Do you say that? Point two, praise and confidence in the abounding grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Before Paul could become an apostle, he had to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And for this, he didn't need to be strengthened. He needed to be saved. Saved eternally. Now, only God's amazing grace could save a wretch like him. And brothers and sisters, only God's amazing grace could save a wretch like me. And only God's amazing grace could save a wretch like you. Point of this passage is, we're all wretches. We may not have done what Paul did, but if we know our own heart, we know we're wretches, redeemed by the grace of Jesus Christ. So Paul gives a short personal testimony of his conversion and faith in Jesus Christ, the personal transformation that God wrought in his life, making him a servant of the living God, changing him from a bully and a murderer to a servant of God. The apostle begins with his wretched past, describing his life before Christ. He says he was a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent. Paul was present for the stoning of Stephen, giving approval to his death. According to Acts chapter 8, verse 3, he was still breathing threats and murder against those who were following the Lord Jesus Christ when he traveled to the Damascus Road to take more prisoners. And it's not just that he was blasphemous. He wanted to make other people blaspheme God. And the fact that he committed these crimes in the name of God made them even more outrageous. From Paul's perspective in these days, he was attempting to serve God by eradicating Christianity. He even gives this testimony before King Agrippa in Acts 26, 9 through 11. This was the violent, blasphemous, wretched life the Apostle Paul was following in persecuting the church. Then Christ brought the Apostle Paul to himself. A Christian testimony is the story of God's magnificent grace overcoming a man's sin. So Paul tells the after as well as the before. The Puritan Thomas Goodwin loved to use this phrase, I was bemercied by God. Mercy refers to the forgiveness of sins. And when, by the rich grace of God, the Apostle Paul was humbled before Christ and acknowledged that he was persecuting the Lord, His murder was forgiven completely. His blasphemy was forgiven completely. His bullying was forgiven completely. The rich grace of God to a wretched sinner. Why did Paul receive that mercy? He has a partial answer here, because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Before he became a believer, the Apostle Paul hardly knew what he was doing. That's the point. In fact, when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he gives out the cry of surprise, "Who are you, Lord?" Acts 9:5. Negatively, he was ignorant of the status of Jesus as the Messiah. Positively, he was a sincere Pharisee who was committed to eradicating Jesus Christ in his absolute spiritual blindness. This does not mean that Paul's ignorance and unbelief somehow qualified him for salvation or made what he did less offensive to God. Not at all. God never excuses sin because of mitigating circumstances. It is rather that God showed the Apostle Paul, who deserved an eternity in hell, overflowing favor and grace, because God is merciful. If you sit here today as a believer in Jesus Christ, you only sit as a believer in Christ because God has shown himself merciful to you. If you're walking with the Lord today, it's only because God has been merciful to you. As he declared in Titus 3:5, God saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but because of his mercy. It was only by the grace of God the Apostle Paul was found by God when he was lost and enabled to see when he was blind. God has great mercy on those who have yet to receive the message of the gospel. They are still responsible for their sin, but God is a merciful God who has said this gospel will be proclaimed through all the world, and until every last one of my elect are brought in, I will not return. God is a God who is merciful. But when Paul was converted, he not only received mercy, he received grace. Grace is the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. And that grace, we are told, was overflowing. It was a mighty torrent that could not be contained by any container. And it was that overflowing grace that completely engulfed and washed away all of the Apostle Paul's hatred to God, filling him with love for Christ. It washed away all of the Apostle Paul's angry hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him love for Christ. It was grace that was all-sufficient because it flowed from Calvary. The only reason grace is abounding is because it flows from the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And it was sufficient for the Apostle Paul. An artist once submitted a painting of Niagara Falls to an exhibition but didn't put a title on it. So the art gallery gave it the title, "More to Follow." What a fit emblem for the grace of God for a believer. The billions of waters of gallons of waters that have flowed from Niagara Falls for the thousands of years since God first created it is a fit emblem for the grace of God that overflows. We read in Romans 5:20 and 21, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." There is no conceivable accumulation of sin that can keep out the flow of God's grace. But there's something else. That grace came with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Beloved in Christ, all of the spiritual blessings of salvation are only found in Christ. Grace, faith, love come to us because God chooses to unite us with Christ. If you know Christ, you have grace, faith, and love in overflowing measure. If you don't know Christ, you don't have any. God holds out the gift of eternal life, but we are too sinful to take it. Every one of us is too sinful to take it. And when God offers the gospel freely to us, we close up our fist in defiance and rebellion. And we would forever keep it closed to an eternity in hell. So God takes the wrist strongly. He uncurls the fingers and he puts faith in our hands and he closes the fingers. Every blessing of salvation is the result of God's grace, the faith God gives us, and the love God gives us. And it all redounds to his glory. Then lastly, his personal testimony of Christ's saving grace. In its spiritual dynamic of sin and grace, Paul's autobiography, his personal testimony of God's transforming, abounding grace for a wretched sinner, is basically the story of every Christian. Yes, there are unique elements to the Apostle Paul's conversion. He heard Christ audibly. We did not. We heard Christ in his word, heard the gospel, and responded. He had Jesus appear to him in a blinding light. So there's unique things about Paul's testimony. But in this sense, he's not in a special category. And that is, we are all very unpromising sinners without spiritual potential who have been made servants of God by God's rich grace. Yes, his sins were worse than many because he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, every Christian has received what Paul received, mercy and grace to the worst of sinners. So the Apostle Paul takes his personal experience of God's transforming grace and he declares in verse 15 to apply it to us all. The saying is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I presently am the worst. Sounds like a slogan from the early church, maybe a hymn, a catechism, a creed. Here Paul affirms this popular saying is a true saying. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. This truth deserves to be wholeheartedly accepted because it gives us the gospel from incarnation to atonement. Look at verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world. The beauty of the incarnation, Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven to assume human nature as the perfect God-man. What's the reason? To save wretched sinners. He didn't need to come to save himself. He came to save those chosen before the creation of the world to effectively achieve their salvation on the cross. He came to die, to bear our sin and death. It was only as the God-man that he could bear the fierce anger of God for you and me. The sufficiency of the atonement. The sufficiency of it. Do you believe you were saved 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross? That's when you were saved. That's when your atonement was accomplished, in the death and resurrection of Christ. It's sufficient. Then he takes the general universal statement and he applies it personally. And he's inviting you and me to put ourselves in his shoes and say it as well. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Do you believe yourself to be among the worst of sinners? That's what Paul's getting at. We're all undeserving sinners, of whom I am the worst, now redeemed. And we must use the present tense the way Paul uses it. It's important. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. There's the general universal statement of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But he came into this world to save me in particular. See, it's not enough to say, well, there's this general universal statement. Have you applied it to yourself personally and accepted it? That's the point. I am the worst. Because as sinners, we need every day to go back to the mercy of God at Calvary. Do you notice what has happened and is happening for the Apostle Paul? As he grows in his relationship with Christ, he does not outgrow his unworthiness before God, nor his need for the gospel. In fact, his awareness of his sinfulness is growing as he grows in the grace and service to God. It's those who are most desperate about themselves, who are most forceful about the sovereign grace of Christ that saved them. And by degrees, our awareness of the guilt of our sin and our confidence in God's forgiveness grows. It is the most hopeful thing in the world to believe that you're a sinner who needs the grace of Jesus Christ. Because this verse 15 gives us the qualification for being a believer, being eternally saved. What is the qualification? You must recognize two things. The only contribution you make to salvation is your sin. And taking Jesus Christ to yourself. It's not enough to believe you're just a sinner. You must take Christ by God's grace to yourself. So Christianity is the only religion for bad people. Every other religion teaches you can get good enough to make yourself acceptable to God. But what if you're not good enough? What if you really are a wretched sinner the way the Bible says? Then Christianity is your only hope. Christ Jesus came into the world to save from sin. And he's the only one who can save from sin. And then he closes with this magnificent statement in verse 16. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. The Apostle Paul declares, God gives abundant mercy and grace to the worst of sinners. He identifies himself as the worst of sinners, but he declares, I have received abundant grace and mercy. Therefore, I am figuratively an example that anyone in your life who doesn't know Christ can be redeemed by the grace of God if they will turn in faith to Christ. The point Paul's making, look, if God could transform me, a murderer who hated Christ, tried to eradicate his name, a bully, a blasphemer, into an apostle who would serve the Lord, God can pour out his grace and save anybody. So don't give up hope. Saying, God, save me as an example that his mercy is so extensive and his patience so great that he is able to save anybody. If you have unsaved loved ones and you doubt that they can be saved, I would really challenge you to pray this passage. There is no one beyond the scope of God's grace. But this is a challenge to us who are believers. How could we not be thrilled with Jesus Christ after all he has done for us? How could we not be committed to sharing the gospel, knowing what he has endured for others as well as for us? And instead of sitting in a corner and letting the devil rob us of the joy of our salvation, the Apostle Paul, when he looks at his past, only looks at it in a way in which he praises God. I was a murderer. I was a blasphemer. But praise God, I received abundant grace. Therein lies the answer to the doubts about salvation. Praise God for the assurance that the salvation of Christ brings to all who trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich grace that you have extended to us. Lord, we confess how undeserving we are, and yet you have given us what we don't deserve. We pray that out of gratitude, we will live lives devoted to you. Lord God, we pray for any here who may never have trusted personally in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that you would give them the grace of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.